Welcome to Nodcast, episode 242. More triggers than a gun show. Pew,
pew. Oh, man.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saren.
I'm horrified.
As well you should be.
Indeed. Indeedly doodly.
So, just so you guys know, we also did an episode this week with the guys over at GCC.
That was a lot of fun.
We recorded it last night, which we're recording on Thursday, so Wednesday.
Much talk of big, meaty horse vaginas.
And drama bullshit.
And drama bullshit, yes.
Lots of drama bullshit that we wouldn't really bring up on this show. But the GCC, well, that's kind of their bread and butter.
So, I do want to mention some drama that I just found about recently that we didn't mention on their show. Because this is funny. It's already out on Twitter, so it's all good. There is a furry con called Furry Con who is trying to trademark the term Furry Con.
Well, after they saw that those guys that did Candy Crush Saga have trademarked the word candy and are trying to get the word saga.
Yeah.
Then they figured, why the fuck not? We can be giant cunts too.
So, like, I had tweeted something about it and, Cadath had replied to me, Candy Furry Con Saga. And then I'd replied to him, Candy Furry Con Saga and the Space Marine Stormtroopers. So apparently LucasArts tried to trademark the term Stormtrooper. So like this RPG or something that took place in World War II wasn't able to use the term Stormtrooper.
Because
even though the Stormtroopers were like
Stormtrooper, yeah.
German light infantry.
So they had to use the term shock troops instead. Oh, I think it was for a video game.
Yeah,
that was being worked on at the time. But yeah, like, yeah.
The Germans and the Russians each had their own stormtroopers. I'm pretty sure it was the Germans.
Yeah. You know,
before
Star Wars. You know,
Star Wars took place a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, that's
so
true.
You know, they have
the date of copyright or the date of when the film is supposed to take place.
Oh, that's the thing.
That's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, motherfucker.
And it would be a matter of who donated what.
So, yeah, that's the latest just furry retardation that's going on. Just...
Yeah, it's just like, but it's those people. We know who they are.
Yeah.
It's like,
why is it lately that every libertarian I encounter is an asshole or an idiot? Am I drawing too much parallel there?
Yes.
Just because it happens like 9 times out of 10?
Well, you know, people need to grow up sometimes.
Mm.
You know, there's two books children can read when they're young. One will fill you with ridiculous idea full of monsters and terrible things, and the other one has orcs. The line is Atlas Shrugged or Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, right.
It helps if I don't miss the front part of the joke.
Yeah.
Well, it's also kind of a visual joke, I thought.
Ah, whatever.
Meme.
It's just one of those things
that... Meme.
It's one of those things that nobody's had the audacity to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that do it should probably be beaten for having that audacity.
Should they be punched in the dick?
Yes.
Yes.
Hide in a burlap sack, beaten with reeds, and thrown in the river.
I mean,
Or tied down and beaten with bars of soap in a pillowcase.
I just don't know what they were hoping to accomplished by this. I mean, do you have to make all the other furry cons stop using
the term furry con to describe themselves? And then you'd have to license the term furry con from them. But and basically someone else would own the term furry con, and
it's just a matter of fuck you prior art, you know?
Yeah, I am hoping that the trademark doesn't actually go through. The way trademark works, when you put your application in, there is somewhere down the line, there was a period of review where the government publicly publishes the information and basically says, you know, if anybody has any objections to this being trademarked, this is your opportunity to be like, hey, I own that company.
Speaking of forever, hold your peace.
Yeah, it's much like that. Or, fuck you can't trademark that. It's a common usage term. And in this case, it's a common usage term. So when that period of time opens up, basically everybody should fucking write in and be like, hey, assholes, this is a common usage term. You know, and hopefully, like, a bunch of cons will do it, and a bunch of just regular furries will do it, and...
Well, Lord knows, just for our own sakes, TFF will have to go, hey!
Yeah, I mean, we self-describe as a furry con.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it'll be a CYA for everybody, I would imagine. Yeah. So hopefully that means that the trademark would end up being declined at that point, and they will have spent $400 for nothing. But
and then, of course,
that's their idiot fee.
And then, of course, you have the possibility of, well, who's the person, who's the group in this fandom that has the most money? Well, it's AAE or it's Anthrocon.
Right.
And I imagine they have lawyers that are just attendees that would be happy to smack these upstarts down.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting themselves up for a legal battle no matter what they do.
Kage's lawyer shows up, slaps his anthrocock on the fucking boardroom table. Yeah.
Goes, what the fuck were you thinking?
Hands the bottle of red wine to Kage. He downs it in one gulp, breaks it, and just starts stabbing people with the glass.
I don't know if that's approved on at their stage show. And now I'm going to stab a bitch.
He's like, I'm done with this.
Trademark this motherfucker. Mother Yiffer.
I don't know you anymore.
So,
yeah.
So
it's dumb.
It's so dumb. So in other news, I was just showing Saverin our Bulge of the Month calendar.
Yes.
Which is the Warriors calendar by Cheetah Paws, because I wanted to... Isn't the print quality just turned out really nice?
It's really good. It's like I can almost smell the wetness and musk of this lion's chest fur. Just like in that for that college humor.
My hand is stuck.
I can feel everything.
I can't even look at you right now.
But yes, it is very nice and full of
bulges.
That lots looks of... like Deathwing on the last page.
Bulging biceps, bulging packages.
Just bulges.
Bulging chests. Yeah.
Oh. Bulging, yeah, that's...
bulging biceps.
November has had a rough day.
Mm-hmm.
But Deathwing's cock is still okay.
It does kind of look like Deathwing.
Who's Deathwing?
It's a WoW fag.
Oh, okay.
He was the antagonist for the previous expansion. He was a big-ass black dragon.
We said WoW, and he just checked out. You might as well just stop talking.
So I wanted to show you guys something that... This is, like, the gay fur fag Bible. This is, like, the most amazing book I've ever seen. It's 250-ish pages... A full-color male fucking.
200 and what?
Hardcover glossy stock.
This is Anta's book.
This is Anta's Boys Town book.
And
which Perry is
Tien and Na.
And Pao Fu and Togi Fuji.
If I look at it, it's mine.
No! So, basically, if you're a fan of the Hard Blush comics, which I think he put the first year's worth online for free, so you can look at those... and he's in some of the Cocktails books too, but like Cocktails 1 is like the first time you see Marty and, you know, he ends up having to cross dress and gets fucked by his friends. Well, that is in there like redrawn and in full color, which it wasn't originally published in full color. He's also got Sticks and Stones, which if anyone's on Hard Blush, they would have seen Sticks and Stones in black and white. He's actually colorized it for this book. So it's like, I think it's about 250 pages. It is amazing, beautiful color, glossy, just really high quality.
Marty, take off your shirt. I have something for you.
Zip.
Zip.
Don't read the porn dialogue. It is, after all, porn dialogue. But
no good will come of reading porn dialogue.
Oh, and if you look all the way in the back, like the very last page... You'll see my ad for Bad Dog Books.
Nice.
So Fez and Rory get to be in there in the sea of porn.
Dude, they grow up so fast. One last load.
Yes.
That's gay as shit.
Taylor, the little gay panda boy, is doing a load of laundry late at night, and two big bad cops come in and harass him with their cocks.
So, yeah, if you like cute ass, cute asses.
Lots of asses.
And butts and cocks.
Mm-hmm.
And butt cocks.
Gaping portals to hell. It's just how some of the Japanese... This is the Japanese artist, I can tell.
Yeah.
How they draw penetration. They make the cock sort of transparent, so it's just like there's this...
You just yawning, see the hole.
Yawning hole of blackness. to the other world.
I guess that is a stylistic thing. You can kind of imagine. Yeah, it's like... What's it called? Getting used to roommates, getting to know roommates, something like that. It's like three or four parts.
Just
fucking, all the fucking list the sponsors.
And Bad Dog Books.
Yeah, Bad Dog Books, Ferroticon, and Wet Blush are advertised.
Wet Blush. Girls getting down and dirty. Wait a minute.
Yep. Hard Blush has a sister site now called Wet Blush.
Well, I'm sure people knew that, but it's just kind of funny that at the back of this book...
Uh-huh. By the way, if you don't just like dicks and anuses, you can also check out vaginas.
Yeah,
I didn't know they actually had...
They've picked up Atril.
Yeah, I noticed that. So show it to Shiva if she wants to check out the high-quality gay porn.
What's that? Atril found out that drawing anthro characters fucking gets good money?
Yeah. And, wow. You know, he's actually making a living off of doing artwork stuff now. Because people are giving him shit about posting the censored version of the docy images.
Well, because fuckheads were taking the low-quality versions and getting shitty quality
versions. The shitty versions printed from, like, third-party printers. And it's like, ew.
Don't fuck with a man's money.
Also, terrible quality.
Yeah.
But speaking of awesome quality, isn't that book just, like, amazing fucking quality?
That is really nice. That's going to be, like, what, 60, 70 bucks?
Yeah. I think it was selling for 70 at FC. He's working on mailing out all the ones to the backers from Offbeater.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a limited supply of them at FC for sale.
So is this your personal copy, or is it a...
Yeah, it's a copy I happen to have on hand. He did not want to have to ship home whatever he had left over.
Mm-hmm.
So he left like about 10 books with me. Not just Boys Town, but it was like 3 copies of Boys Town and some copies of Union Caravan that he didn't sell.
So it was sort of a distributor thing.
I'm going to end up having a stock of these to sell as a distributor.
Okay. Yeah, that's really nice. And that will, I mean, hardcover, 250 pages. Full color, fucking.
Yeah.
Cute, furry dudes. All that.
I mean...
Those will be gone really fucking
fast. I know, like, 70 bucks sounds expensive, but it's definitely a premium product. I mean, when you consider it's a niche market and that have something of that quality, which is normally, like, something like Dark Horse would do for Black Sad. Big and in color like that and hardcover.
A Vertigo hardcover of that size would be like 100 anyway.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So if you know your comics, then do you know that that's a pretty decent price for a book like that?
And yeah, this is incredibly niche stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I'm sure it'll definitely move.
Looks like, I mean,
it's going to be a bitch to ship because it got to weigh like 3 pounds or something like that.
And it's a good sized book, so
it's pretty thick.
Yeah,
but that's why you make them pay shipping.
Yeah, and to make sure that I've got that entered into the store right, so it doesn't end up costing me a fortune. But yeah, it's just a damn good book, so I wanted to show it off to you guys. And I was giving it a little read before work one day, so it's like, just for research, of course.
I need to go to the bathroom real quick.
I'm getting ready for work. Gotta clean the pipes for getting behind the wheel. It's dangerous to drive with a boner.
I wouldn't know.
So yeah, that's really it. I mean, holy shit. Other than that, it's just a few weeks to go till Fiesta.
Yeah, I've actually taken this week off of work because our workload is low at the day job, and so taking this week off has allowed me to, I relaxed a little this week, and I've also been working on a lot of For Planet stuff, and we'll be continuing to work on more For Planet stuff. Like, I'm trying to get some distribution orders taken care of. I'm paying my bitches, you know, that are royalties, sending out the tax documents and stuff like that. It's all kind of shit.
I'm looking forward. I'm going to be in the Bay Area for a freaking week in April.
That's pretty cool. That'll be a nice vacation.
The 14th through the 21st.
Yep.
With old Flane. And we're going to, you know, because we're doing, helping out a PonyCon out there because, you know. You do good at one convention, you get it recruited at others.
Yes.
Plus, I just took it as an excuse to go out to the Bay Area because I fucking love that area. And it's like, I'll visit it. I want to live there. Too expensive. This would be a great opportunity because I'll be like 4 days solid of just fucking around and seeing people and seeing stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to go do like the Alcatraz night tour. Alcatraz night tour. Alcatraz is in WoW from Burning Crusade.
Oh, I thought you were just mismumbling like Arkham Asylum and Alcatraz, and like you.
Well, there's mashed them Alcatraz, together. Which was a fairly difficult instance back in Burning Crusade, which was time ago.
All right.
And we're gonna go out to the Muir Woods again, and all this other stuff we got planned. We're gonna get a bunch of the pony fags and go to Castro. Go eat at the Sausage Factory.
That's actually a restaurant there?
That's actually a restaurant. We ate there last time I was there in 2012. I'm actually really excited because I just was like, I want to make this a proper vacation. I'm not just going to fly out there, work the weekend, and come back.
Yeah.
So this will be an opportunity to hang out with people that I know out there and hang out with friends I haven't seen in a while and see some shit that we didn't get to see last time.
Yeah.
Because we only had, like, a day or two extra on either end when I was there for FC last year or Animation on Display in 2012. So, exciting.
Oh, that sounds nice. Well, I guess I'm doing Fiesta next month.
Oh, you suppose?
I suppose so.
I could always find people to take your tables, you know. I mean, if you don't want
even
to.
If I didn't do Fiesta, Zia and Buck and Tyrion would still be there.
There is no escape.
And Kyle would totally be like, bitch, you're selling my books, right?
sure. Don't hit me.
Don't hit me with books. Ow. So, no. Yeah, I'll totally be at Fiesta. Yep. That's the next big thing for us.
I'm actually kind of excited. I've had a number of people email me and ask, yo, can I bring a TV and my own shit? One of the things... You know, Fiesta has 6 32-inch televisions that we've accumulated over the last few years. All the consoles that are brought are my personal ones and your Wii, a.k.a. the Brawl boxes. And I've had a couple people like, hey, I want to bring my own setup. Do you got extra space? Because previously, the setup we had at the Crown, what we had fit pretty well. But...
You have a much bigger room
we
now?
We have a bigger room this go-around, like at least 50% bigger. So, you know, we're only going to have 4 of our televisions in an occupied state, but we've got enough power strips, I'm pretty sure, that we can hook up probably 8 or 9 total consoles and TV sets. And that's, you know, because people always bring their stuff. And this year I'm just going to be like, all right, well, I'm bringing some of my stuff, and the rest is just going to be open because you guys always bring stuff anyway. So...
Well, it's cool that people are, like, enthusiastic about stepping up and bringing shit in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and we keep a fucking eagle eye on everything. We've never had a single issue. None of our shit has ever gone missing.
Yeah.
Which is good, because until this year, pretty much everything that's been on the line has been mine. but, yeah, I think we're going to have pretty much the same array of games. will have my PS3, my 360, which will be a miracle if it fucking survives the con, because it's already survived five of them. God, it's kind of crazy to think. Yeah, it's been 5 years, and that 360 survived all of them. Of being online for like 12, 13 hours a day for an entire weekend.
Mm.
Of course, now that I say that...
Right.
None of those things are cheap to replace nowadays. But I ain't getting a next bone.
Mm.
Yeah, we're looking at maybe a PS4, but not super thrilled about that either.
Well, Tyrod was saying the other day how he has a... You know, we bought the PS3 instead of just getting a Blu-ray player because he was like, I'm going to play Arkham, whichever one came first. Asylum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play Arkham Asylum. So I was like, okay, fine. So we'll get a PS3 instead of just a cheap Blu-ray player. Because I wanted a Blu-ray player and some interconnectivity for Netflix and streaming off my PC and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting a PS3. He hasn't played a video game since Arkham Asylum.
Well, like, the last game that I played on my... PlayStation 3 was Dragon's Crown, and that was for a couple weeks after it came out, and I played it, and it was fun, but it's one of those you play with people, but I also kind of bought it for political reasons.
Political reasons?
Thanks, Obama.
No, there is a lot of interbutts feminists getting mad about the depiction of characters in the game, despite the fact that, like, the dwarf is this giant muscle man in a tiny leather fur bikini, and the knight is entirely clad in armor, and the wizard is a wizard, and the elf girl is completely covered up. But the sorceress is a big-titted sorceress, and therefore that was a problem.
Mm.
Which is funny, because the controversy around the game actually made it that company's best-selling game of all time. And they're like, well, shit, we're just going to localize more shit that's Japanese, and people will get mad about it, and people will buy it. But in this particular case, I also have Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I picked that up because I played the first one most of the way through, and back when all our shit got stolen, I lost the game, lost the save, never reacquired it. But they re-released it on PlayStation 3 for like $40 for two games. And I got it in like October? And it's still sealed, sitting on top of that speaker over there. Because I haven't taken the time to sit down and play it.
Mm.
And as for the new next consoles, I'm not even considering buying those for at least a while. The Wii U? No. PlayStation 4? I mean, if I'm going to get one, it's going to be a PS4. But right now, it's like, there's really fuck all that I want to get on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge priority.
I mean, looking at it as my Blu-ray player is still working, my streaming from my computer is still working, and Tyrion hasn't played a video game in ages, so I don't really need to replace my PS3.
Yeah, well, the thing is, one of the benefits of the PS3 as a Blu-ray player is that it's always updated with the latest codecs and shit, because older ones, there can actually be disc incompatibility, supposedly.
Oh, that's right, I heard about that. Yeah, because not every little... mom-and-pop operation that throws out a Blu-ray player is going to keep the software up to date. But Sony is kind of like a major fucking brand, and well, because
Blu-ray
they...
is them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Then the PlayStation 3 is going to get all the updates.
Yeah, so and they have to keep it updated anyway because the video games that are on Blu-ray, so you know they got to keep that shit updated for the 3.
Yeah.
So that's good. Oh, speaking of Blu-rays, so what I've been watching obsessively this week is for Christmas, Tyrion got me season 1 and 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation on Blu-ray.
Nice.
And I don't know if we talked about these on the show or not. I talked about this on Twitter a little bit. But there's various ways to upscale something to high definition. You can go in, take your standard def stuff, and just scale it up. And they tried that, and it kind of looked like ass. And they determined that this isn't what we want to sell because this looks like shit. So there's doing it the hard way, which is what they did. Which is you go back to the original film negatives, scan them all in, recompose every shot like you're remaking the fucking episode from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And redo all of the visual effects, because they didn't have CGI in 1987. It was all physical effects and lighting effects and stuff like that. You know, all the spaceships are models and everything like that. So, oh, and like the way they shot the Enterprise, they did it in like 3 or 4 passes. Mm-hmm. Like they did a pass on the model, and then there's a pass on just the lights, and then there's a pass on like the warp nacelle lights. And then they composited it together and then composited that composite along with the matte painting of the planet and the background of the stars. So they had to rebuild all these composite shots and everything. I watched the behind the scenes shit, and it's like, you know, it's one thing to make a high definition film now, and you're doing that all right away. It's entirely more work to go back to a 20-year-old TV series, have to dig up and research all the original camera angles and editing cuts and everything that was used. And the thing they did right, everyone was very happy with this. They didn't just throw, you know, they didn't take the opportunity to make it better or improve it, air quotes. They didn't Lucas it. They didn't think, you know what, this battle scene needs 5,000 more starships just CGI cut and pasted all the fuck over the screen.
Mm-hmm. Lasers everywhere.
Lasers everywhere. They didn't do any of that crap. They have faithfully recreated the special effects as they appeared in the show. So, like, the one that really impressed me was the crystalline entity. Yeah. If you remember that from Data
Lore. They actually used that in, like, their teaser reel. Like, check this shit out.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, so they... they didn't have a digital file of it, of how ILM created it in 1987. They just had the standard definition image of it. So they had to recreate it with CGI, but they recreated it looking much the same. But because HD obviously has much higher definition than SD back then, it's got all these cool glinting light effects, like it's all the surfaces are very reflectory, like a real big ass crystal would be. Mm-hmm. But they recreated the effect perfectly when it like touches the Enterprise's shields and the shields go around the ship. You can't see my hands. I'm doing like the egg shape around the ship thing, that the way their shield effect is. They recreated all that lighting effect perfectly. So I'm just really fucking impressed with how good it looks and how much they didn't fuck it up. You know, how they were like, you know, and they brought in people that had been involved with it originally to like advise and stuff like that. Like people that had written about the sets and the design and stuff like that.
When I saw the sets come out, I was like, they're $70 or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I kind of understand why.
Yeah. They put, because, number one, you're trying to sell a 20-year-old TV series that most of your hardcore fans already have on Blu-ray, or on DVD, right? And it's also available in standard def on Netflix streaming. So you kind of have an uphill battle to be like, hey, we spent all this time and a fuck ton of money making this look really, really impressive and amazing. Mm. So yeah, they have to sell them initially for like $70. I can get them now for like $50. So that's a little bit better. But yeah, they are pricey, but you know what? I really feel like they're worth the money. I can definitely tell where the money was spent.
Yeah.
They spent a shitload making these things look amazing.
They didn't half-ass it, which is important.
Yeah. Because, you know, sci-fi fans very much care about that shit, especially after the clusterfuck of Star Wars, where every reiteration was adding and changing more shit in an already good movie. People just want their fucking movies that they grew up watching that they love,
and they don't need.
Yeah,
you don't need to polish them. People just want them.
Yeah, people just want the original shit to look good on their TV as it was when they loved it. And that's what they've done with Next Gen. They've made it look good on today's modern high-def TV sets. Yeah, equipment. But they haven't dicked around with it at all. So that's super sweet. I'm really impressed with it.
I'd like to see it, you know, actually sit and watch a couple episodes before I go out and sink money in it.
Yeah. Well, you should come over and watch them sometime. Actually, and you should also watch the behind-the-scenes thing, because they constantly go back and forth showing the difference between standard def upscale, which is slightly better, but mm-hmm. still really fuzzy and blurry around the edges, and then high def. And when you see the shift between one and the other, you're like, holy shit. This is enjoying this show on a whole new level. It really looks fucking good. It, you know, and they were interviewing so many actors, and they're like, it looks like we shot it yesterday. You know, it looks like it has modern special effects.
Like that polished, you know, yeah. not fuzzy.
Yeah. Know? It looks brand new again. And, you know, they made them good in the first place. They cost $1 million an episode, and they had ILM doing the special effects. They weren't a slouch,
no.
you know, in the first place. And that's probably part of the reason why it holds up so well as a series. Yeah.
I mean, I know I watched the shit out of it
when yeah. I was a kid. I mean, I was 11 when the show started, so I grew up through my teen years watching that show.
Yeah. And every, I remember when it was Saturday night and there was a new episode, by God, that's what we're doing. We're sitting down, mm-hmm. we're watching Trek. We made sure we had dinner done.
That's awesome.
In time to, you know.
Gotta watch that new episode.
Yeah. Good times.
Yep.
Sorry, you know, I almost wish fucking Star Trek was sponsoring us for the amount of time I just gushed about Next Generation.
Yeah. Buy the DVDs, use our coupon code NOT.
No, not the DVDs, the Blu-rays.
The Blu-rays.
High def NOT.
See every vein.
Jesus.
Don't think about it too hard, kids.
No. Should we move on to like an email or
probably
something?
Probably, yeah. we've got a couple, got actually a pretty decent array of emails this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, we have a Tumblr question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a conversation-y starter one.
Oh, dear.
Anonymous asked a question. Hang on. Jeeves here from cold and rainy Scotland.
That's not very anonymous. That's
not very anonymous.
Well, that's automatically, and I guess he doesn't have a Tumblr.
Well, he also tends to introduce himself.
Yeah. Recently, I've been watching a lot of episodes of The Crocodile Hunter, starring the late, great Steve Irwin on YouTube. He was my inspiration to get into education in the field of zoology, and while I may have put that aside to pursue a career in catering, his shows and the lessons he tries to impart through them still inspire me massively. This got me thinking, what, if any, celebrities have influenced or inspired the Notcast crew in their lifetime?
Most of mine are artists or comic book artists.
I know one for Saffron and I right off the fucking bat.
What? Yeah.
Kevin Smith. he's your spirit animal.
Yep. And if he wasn't in L.A., I'd go down to see him, but that's not in the cards for at least his San Francisco trip.
Yeah.
Because remember, welcome to Los Angeles. Put a dick in your mouth.
No, it's... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, Kevin Smith, definitely. Good... Kind of hard to just nail down individuals that really had, like, an impact.
Now, is he thinking, like, specifically TV stars, or is it, like...
He just said celebrities.
I don't know. It's really a hard question. I mean, like, Harrison Ford was the model of the dashing hero through, you know, Indiana Jones and Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big part of my childhood. What?
The only thing you're dashing to is another bowl of Ding Dongs.
Oh, you can reach them.
When you were a child.
Saverick, curl your fingers, put that first knuckle out, and give him a good old...
smack. I'm going to smack you with porn.
They're smacking and then you use the knuckle.
That fucking thing will take teeth out. Actually, yeah, that could kind of hurt.
Yeah, good.
I've heard of people being spanked with a Bible. I can just bend someone over and spank them with Boys Town.
But yeah, Kevin Smith, for his podcasting
Yeah, I'd say his ability to be like, you know what, I'm a fat, lazy fuck, and I'm a pothead, but I've done what I want to do, and fuck what people think, and fuck what critics think, and, you know, he made a business out of podcasting, and he's done what he wanted with his films, and, you know, he has his own fan base, and that's fine, you know? I don't have to have, like, millions of worshippers and millions of dollars, you know, as long as you're able to do what you want to do and make a living, you know, you're
He's making a living doing stage podcasts weekly at the Improv. There was, like, the latest episode of Hollywood Babylon, they included a little blurb, or maybe it was their Twitter account, like, 20 second straight sold out show. And I'm like, they get a cut of every ticket they sell, and they're making bank every week doing a show. I mean, obviously, they put a lot of work in this show, but also, you know, Kevin fucking tokes up. He gets their stone on stage, they're drinking on stage, they're putting on the show and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And making money doing that. I can respect the fuck out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kevin Smith probably, I would say probably writers, like, you know, definitely like Stephen King, like, didn't believe in his own writing, and, like, he actually tossed Carrie, his first novel, in the trash, and his wife, Tabitha, dug it out of the trash and forced him to submit it, and it got published, you know? But he also, like, he kept submitting short stories, and they kept getting rejected. And he put a nail in his wall, and this was back when they mailed you physical rejection letters. This was before email. And he took each rejection letter he got, and he stuck it on the mail, you know, like those, the nail, you know, those old mail spikes that mm-hmm. you would get, kind of like that. And he filled the nail with rejections before he had a story accepted. And I always really liked that story because it really shows...
You got to persevere. You can't keep yeah, trying.
It's absolutely about perseverance, and too many people throw in the towel or get really depressed when they don't get accepted to something right away. And it's like, dude's fucking rich. He made a living off of writing, but he got rejected like 100 times. You gotta go through those rough patches and then see where you can improve and try resubmitting your work somewhere else. There's also stories of, like, in a more general sense, there's stories of books that have been submitted to many, many publishers always being rejected before they get accepted. And then it's like, and then it becomes like a bestseller or something like that. So, I mean, I'd cite him as an inspiration. And the character of the doctor was, I didn't really have a father figure growing up. So the doctor was probably my father figure. Which is why I'm so insane now. Now, you were saying, like, mostly artists?
Yeah, comic book artists. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I hate to say it, but back when there was Liefeld, and yeah, his art's kind of got some serious anatomy issues. But he was one of the kind of the poster boys. I mean, he got to be like he got to be on like shows and commercials because he was so young when he busted in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the heyday when I came into and realized that comic books were a thing was about then. And he was only a little bit older than me. I was in my teens. He busted into it in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm. So like early to mid 90s, pretty much.
Yeah. And then always authors. I can't think of really any stars that really, you know, like TV stars that really influenced me. I mean, there were ones I admired, like... He says Steve Irwin, but mine was like David Attenborough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I watched Wild America, and that really, with Marty Stouffer, that was my... Those are kind of the nature shows that got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't really... I don't have a lot of other ones that I can think of, that's especially like TV personalities.
Okay, that's fine. Let me go ahead and read one. Do. There was somebody mentioning the College Humor furry superheroes are super gross video, which I've seen and was quite laughable.
I thought it was pretty funny. You have to have a sense of humor about this kind of thing, guys.
You know, shake your butt. Anyway, so I'm going to read this one. A big question. What is it what helps people figure out if they are a fur? I have asked this to many furs online as I have yet to leave near other furs or to go to a convention, and most everyone says something different. I wanted to know what you think and what made you realize you were furs. And is it me or are most male furs gay, whether in the closet or not? Because for some reason I have so many pick gay furs to RP with. So they've done actual numbers on this, and it's the closest I can remember, it's like one-third straight, one-third gay, one-third bi. Mm-hmm. So if you put the gay and the bi together, there's a whole lot of guys sucking dick in this fandom.
Pretty in unashamedly.
So, yeah, I'm down with that. So how do you figure out you're a fur?
You like animal people.
Do you want to see Robin Hood's cock?
Do you just want to see Robin Hood with or without cock?
Do furry cartoon characters without pants make you horny? No. I mean, it's just a matter of, like, what turns your crank. I mean, if you really, really, really get into something, and then...
In a sexual or non-sexual way.
And then you
find... Or in a sexual way.
Shut up.
Not helping.
It's just one of those things that, you know, it's also a matter of, like, do you like the content, all right? Do you engage in the fandom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you can totally like this stuff and not engage in the fandom. Or you can be, you know, neck deep in it. When it comes to the gay part, I think it's kind of almost a self-perpetuating cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this thing of, well, you know, there's lots of gay people here, so if I'm gay, I can find acceptance here.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, on the bisexual side of things, you know, the furry art and furry community is very...
Flexible.
Very.
The characters are very flexible, too.
It's like very encouraging of exploration of one's sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people willing to try shit out. And, of course, there's probably a lot of people in that bisexual... field that are sort of like bi and name only that are just like in theory, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a lot of people, role play is role play. Then they don't really attach their online persona to their real life persona, where it's like, I can go be Tammy the Vixen over here, get railed by 37 cocks, and go home to my girlfriend and bang the crap out of her, and They don't have a disconnect there. It's just they compartmentalize things.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I guess. I always thought it was kind of odd. The people that are like, I'm gay or bi online, but I'm totally straight IRL. It just means that you haven't quite accepted that part of yourself into your IRL.
You haven't
found the right
cock.
Right.
I don't know. There's people where it's kind of like we go back to it where it's fine in theory, but when you start getting into real life, it's like, no.
Well, I mean, you know, it turns out that people in real life are not completely buffed out, stacked, massive cock having horse tars.
They're stacked like a fuck shit stack.
You know, it's like there's a big difference between, you know, the idealized fantastical creatures of furry pornography and, well, the actual people that are role-playing that sex god of a tiger.
Yes.
No.
What? I don't look anything like my character. Is that wrong? My fuck shit stack. I found some pretty hot guys that look like the Twinkie furries.
That's true.
So.
You mean I'm not actually 4 foot tall and like 110 pounds and ripped?
Well, you might be soon.
Well, that has to lose a foot of height. A foot and a half of height.
I can get a saw.
Oh, man. Not allowed.
I mean, you're an audiobook narrator. What do you need feet for?
Walking.
Hi, I'm Stumpy the Fox.
Yeah, that was one of the things. It's like, it doesn't really come up in, like, character discussions, but Severin, as a character, is short because Fennecs are small. It's like he's, like, 4 feet tall.
But he's actually 5 feet with the ears.
Yeah. He is a fairly short Fennec because short, cute Fennecs are cute.
So seriously, is that 4 foot to the top of the head?
Yeah, and not then the ears top. Are extra.
Not to the top of the ears.
Ears are like 8 inches extra, I guess.
Yeah, they're pretty huge. On Fennecs, I mean, they're pretty huge. So
remember, it's also size play in a way.
Just because you're itty bitty.
Omer.
Yep.
I don't commission a lot of stuff of Severin, so it doesn't really matter.
We need to get a commission of you filled with dicks.
A dick in every hole in both ears.
And every pore counts as a hole.
This is not like that Japanese art we were looking at last night.
Oh, God. I'm starting to feel physically nauseous.
Yeah, you brought it on yourself.
How did I bring it up? Oh, because I said, I haven't heard of this person before.
No, you mentioned the pores thing. And Sheila, read an email.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's one. I don't know.
I'm going to fuck you in the pores.
I don't know. This. They're almost on top of Furry Fiesta. I mean, it might be a bit of, you know. Oh, okay. We'll give you your shout out. Hey there, Notcast. I just wanted to ask you guys if you could give a shout-out to the upcoming Vancouver 2014, where a third-year con of nearly 500 in 2013. Vancouver is held February 27th through March 2nd in the beautiful Executive Hotel and Conference Center in Burnaby, British Columbia. While our main hotel is fully booked, there's still space available at our nearby overflow, the Accent Inn. This year's theme is Gateway to the Pacific, a celebration of the diversity of the city and how it connects and interacts with our other countries in the Pacific Rim. For more information or register, please check out the website www.vancouver.ca. And that's VANCOUFUR.ca. Our thanks for any support you can offer us on your podcast, Kairu. So, now...
You didn't want to read this because it's too...
Yeah, it's like
they're in fucking Canada.
I know. They get a pass because they're not in the region, but...
Oh, man, know. Our Vancouver attendance is going to go down this year.
This is one of those, I'm having flashbacks. Oh, shit, now the cons are reaching out to this podcast. Oh, God!
Run away!
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, Vancouver. Yeah, it is on top of stuff. It was actually really funny, though, because...
it's on top of America.
It's on top of, like, the weekend of Fiesta, isn't it?
No, it's, like, 1 weekend after.
Oh, it's weekend after. All right.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, it's in Vancouver, and I had...
It's in fucking Burnaby!
It's about as far from Texas as you can actually get and still be...
That's the thing, is...
On the continent.
I had somebody that I'm connected with on the pony side of things warn me that, hey, I've been hearing rumblings of there's someone trying to start another pony con in Texas. And I'm like, okay, where? El Paso. And I'm like, do you realize how far that is from me? The answer is 640 miles.
That might as well be two states away.
It's closer to drive to St. Louis than it is to go to El Paso from Dallas. It is almost
that fucking huge.
It is almost closer to drive to Memphis, obviously, than it is to drive to El Paso. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking you could probably almost make it to Nashville before you got there.
Mm-hmm. Nashville's like 12 hours, I want to say.
And El Paso's 14.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I told the guy, okay, well, thanks for the heads up.
This isn't going to be a problem.
Yeah. It's one of, it's in El Paso. And it's just one of those things. Texas is so fucking huge that, you know, it kind of blows your mind when you really think about it.
Mm.
That 640 miles, that's several countries in Europe almost, you know.
Yeah.
Depends on the size of the country in Europe.
Yeah.
There's some little ones.
So. Lots of little bitty ones.
It's like 12 Rhode Islands.
Let's measure European countries in sizes of in Rhode Islands. It's now a unit of measurement.
Well, how many whales is it? How many jaws?
Jaws?
As in the shark.
Oh, okay.
How many jaws long is it?
Is it your turn to read or is it
mine? Yes, my turn.
Okay.
So, all right. Here's another. No, it's not pony. It's furry. Furry. Ah, help! Biggest little furcon. Hello, it is a Fuzzy Fox listener back from episode 3 or so, and I've loved the show for years. But I have recently shaken off some of my shyness to actually start hanging out with furries in person.
Cool.
After being bummed about not being able to afford FC, I was so excited to find out that I could afford Biggest Little Furcon. My only issue was locating a room that I could share in upon. If any listeners have any, that would be greatly appreciated.
I thought you said share in a pond. Just like, share in a pond?
As well as for...
We're all otters in this room. We're just going to put the bed out and fill it with water.
I also have a few questions pertaining to the costs I might expect to see, or anything in general that a first-time con-goer should expect, or possibly things that I should bring to ones new to cons may forget. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Kelfox. P.S. You can find him on for affinity at user Kelfox, K-E-L-F-O-X, if you are interested in helping this guy out. So, first-time convention attendee stuff and expenses that they may not expect. Food. Make sure you budget for food.
And tax on your hotel room. Because just because it says it's $99 a night doesn't mean you're going to expect... You can probably expect, depending on the area, another $20-$30 on top of that, depending on how many fees and everything else they stack on top of.
Taxes and occupancy tax and convenience fee taxes and tax convenience fees, you know,
I don't
want to
tell
like
you
that.
How many times that I've gone to split a room with someone and they, okay, I say it's going to be $100 a night, okay, so it'll be $50 a night, and then they come, they bring $50. And I get hit with the taxes for every night, and that gets painful after a little bit.
Looks like around here it's like, what, 15% occupancy?
I think it's 20.
Jesus.
It's a lot.
So.
They like their money.
Yeah, the city likes their money.
So Biggest Little Furcon has forums on their website, which is biggestlittlefurcon.org. They also have a Twitter account at biggestlittlefc. And... I would definitely follow their Twitter account and also check out their forum, because a lot of the convention forums will have room and ride share boards on there for people to post at if they're looking for somebody. Also, occasionally, some cons will retweet people that are looking for rooms, you know, looking for rooms, looking to do art trades, you know, mm-hmm. if they're dealing or something like that. So if you mention them in your Twitter, they might also retweet you if you're looking for something.
Yeah, I know with Fiesta, I've stepped back from running the Twitter account, but I mm-hmm. still run the Facebook. And if folks are doing anything, I'll help boost their signal for if it's something that applies to FF. Now, if they're going to pimp something else, it's just... random furry, I'm like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're looking for a room or everything else, I try to help them get the noise out so that they can...
Yeah. And BLFC is also on Facebook, too, Biggest Little Furry Convention. So, you know, I would definitely check out all their social media and particularly the forum on their website and look for those ride and room share places there. That's probably your best bet to find a space. Now, if you're driving out there, while it is best to stay in the convention hotel in order to get the full convention experience, it's better than nothing. If you drive out there, you stay at a less expensive hotel further from the con if you're not able to find room in the convention hotel or the overflow hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an option also. But I would opt to try and find a room with somebody. I mean, preferably it would be people you know, but you know, that might be a tall order depending on how social you are. So you could check out those room share boards instead. You also want to check with people about compatibility. It's something that some people think of, but not everybody does.
Are they a smoker? Are they a drinker? Do they snore?
Yeah. Are they going to stay up all night partying?
To stay up all night partying?
Yeah. If you stay up all night partying and they're a in bed by 10 o'clock kind of person, then, you know, you might have some roommate friction there. So ideally you want to try to be matched with roommates that are planning to have a similar experience at the convention.
Or else they're flexible and don't give a fuck.
And respect people's limits and maybe plan ahead of time if anyone's going to need to use the room privately for a while, if they're going to put like the do not disturb sign and stuff like that. Make sure you get, I usually request extra towels because I'm usually staying with, there's four of us all together. And, you know, by the time everybody takes a shower or takes a second shower, you run through.
Everything's soggy.
Everything in the bathroom is soggy. Yeah. So definitely be considerate when it comes to things like that. Don't use more than one towel, you know. There's usually four big ones for washing, that kind of thing. Additional cost, like you said, what y'all said, food. Definitely, you know, registration. Budget some money to spend in the dealer's room. So if you want to get any comics or books, you want to get some sketches from artists, a con badge or anything like that, tails, fursuit accessories. You know, the usually dealers' rooms will have all kinds of stuff. And it sucks wandering around looking at all this neat furry stuff that you've never seen before and you're unable to buy any of it. So I definitely budget yourself some cash for that. Budget more than you think you'll need for food, because depending on the hotel, some cons are at a hotel where there's nothing around them as far as walking distance goes. So you might end up having to eat in a hotel, which is very expensive. Even if you end up going out to eat with friends over the weekend, that can add up fairly quickly unless you're able to get to a couple of fast food places.
If you can't, find out if the hotel has a fridge. Bring some lunch meats. Bring trail mix. Bring stuff for you to eat.
Sandwich making stuff. If money's an issue.
I mean, shit. Somebody will have a car, find out there's like a Target or a Walmart, and get yourself some real basic chow. I mean, if you really want to, and, you know, it's like if the hotel has in-room microwaves or in-room fridges, you know, it's real simple to go to a con and eat on the fucking cheap.
It just takes a little bit of
It takes some extra planning.
And try to bring some cash also to tip your maids, tip the valet or bellman, you know, if you utilize their services and things like that.
I
can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I think that basically covers it. And of course, the 6-2-1 rule, you know, minimum 6 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, 1 shower.
Definitely 1 shower.
Definitely.
It's amazing
more
how
more if you're a fursuiter.
Well, and the other thing is that, and we've covered this in prior episodes, is the amazing rejuvenation that taking a shower can have. I mean, I've been worn out and have that completely overhaul how my mood and I was feeling. So,
I take a shower in that orange yellow glow from Doctor Who, and then I'm totally rejuvenated or regenerated. I forget which.
Do we want to do an Adam and Eve?
Sure.
We should probably do an Adam and Eve.
Because we're also coming up on the.
On the end of the show, pretty much.
Yeah. So before we have to rush it into the credits again. We got to be better about... Oh, yeah. We've got something we have to do. I hate using the mobile version of their website. It's... I prefer their regular one.
Yes, well...
I know.
So our sponsors are AdamandEve.com, which you can find at AdamandEve.com. And we have a coupon code there, which is not KNOT. Gets you 50% off most items, free shipping, In the continental U.S., is there a minimum for the free shipping? I forgot.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, they're bringing up their... They're ramping up for their big holiday.
Yes, Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Which is, of course, great times to get yourself dongs.
Yes. Get something to stick in your orifice of choice. Yay, or that of orifices. Your partner.
The So Real 6-Inch Realistic Dildo. On sale, $14.95.
What? let's see. For her.
I'm just looking at the stuff that they have.
Oh, they've got that pretty glass one again.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a A&E Blue Swirl Glass 4-Way G, which is on sale for $30, but I don't know for
cocoa. They've got this little heart one that we usually mention this time of year.
We should get some cock rings. Why? Ultra Sweller Penis Rings.
I don't have a cock.
Bright Red, $10.95.
How about this one?
Ooh. That's kind
of
nice.
No, is it the glass one?
It's the glass one.
It's a glass one with, like, hearts.
So it's very Valentine-y.
It's also very vagina-y.
Well, I have a vagina. It's relevant to my...
I'm just saying that...
Hey, if you're a girly boy, you can appreciate a pretty dildo. Now stick it in your ass.
It looks like it has knobbly bits. I'm just saying
that... Knobbly bits feel nice in the ass.
Why are you... Oh, that's right. It's Thursday.
Need to go to your raid.
No, I need to take my fucking medicine. That's what that means. I have it turned off for Friday.
Oh, okay.
But we're not recording on Thursday, yeah.
Gotta swap it around now.
It's... God damn it. It's not adding it to the cart. So...
The shopping cart is having trouble with my tablet as well.
Mm.
So, hey...
But you get the picture. What's the name of the item exactly?
It's Red Heart's Glass Dildo. It's on sale for $24.95. However, with our coupon code, not KNOT, you should get it for half off, so it'll be $12.50.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice for a pretty little glass dildo.
Yep.
It looks like it'll be fun. It's got a decent-sized base. I don't know if I would trust that with your butt, but... It's a nice little showpiece.
Yeah.
Put it on your coffee table.
Yeah.
Along with your, like, rock collection.
Your glass dildo collection to go with your rock collection.
Your war chest of bad dragon cocks.
Yep.
You saw their FC sale, right? We're not on FC who hears all of our stuff.
I think I did.
Yeah, they had all of their flops, which are the minor... The minor imperfections that anything like a little bubble
right, imperfections, yeah.
All those were on sale, I think, for like 15-20% off.
We need to get a coupon code for Bad Dragon now.
You can always ask them.
Their affiliate program isn't very good.
Oh.
I have looked into it.
So, I think it's my turn.
Yep.
Can we do this as the last one?
Sure.
Oh, dear. Why are you giggling?
Nothing.
Oh, dear.
Is their affiliate program no good because there's a culture of fear?
Yes. If you cross the line, if you don't sell enough, they just come to your house and...
Tyranny rules in the land of dragon cocks.
It's like, affiliate? I thought he was making a horse... Joke.
Or a filling you up kind of. It could go either way. Anyway, where are we going next?
I know we're good.
That's right. Par for the course.
All right, so, haha. Hey there, I think this will make it into the episode tonight. Haha, you're wrong. But here goes. I am a 33-year-old bi male who lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I've been listening to you all for 2 episodes and found this podcast about 3 days ago. Today is the 30th of January. Oh, son, you have so far to go. I've been into furries off and on since the mid-90s when I found the stuff on the Jab archive. What's Jab short for? I can never remember.
Jailbait? No, I don't know. It's something to do with animation, I think.
As well as other parody sites. After talking to a furry/parody artist, furry always has been in the back of my mind as my list of things I'm into. Well, lately it sprung back up, and I took a chance to get more involved. I know, like, 2 other furs, and they are not local. I decided to go to Rocky Mountain Fur Con in August for the first time to see what it will be like. I've been to YaoiCon, had a blast there. Any advice on going to a furry con, if there is any? I'm also having a hard time finding anyone local to hang with. I'm into other things and have friends, though, there, but meeting some local furries would be quite cool. If you have any suggestions, I'm all ears. Thanks, Henry. And he sent me a nice well-wishing about my family. Okay, so Santa Fe, New Mexico. Their biggest little fur con, I think that's going to be his closest one.
Well, he's going to RMFC.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, biggest little fur con's in Reno.
I know, but that's...
The closest is going to be RMFC.
Yeah. And isn't there the Arizona one?
There's Arizona Fur Con, which is in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've posted the time this year. Last year it was in October.
Mm.
Not sure if it'll be the same time of year this year or not.
Later, and it might be closer. I don't know.
I would definitely suggest, in order to meet more people, because I know the COD chair will really appreciate me saying this, you should totally volunteer at Rocky Mountain Fur Con. And that's a great way to meet people in the area, in that area, anyway.
It seriously is. It's how I reconnected to the Dallas community after I left for a couple of years. So, yeah. Volunteering at the local FurCon is a great way to just meet people and get into a social circle. You know, especially if you're interested in real-life connections over people you randomly meet on, like, Fur Affinity.
Yeah. Well, there is a meetup group called Southwest Fur in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Mm.
Doesn't have a lot of people. Let's see, meetups.
I know there's also, I don't know how far away Santa Fe is from Albuquerque, but I know in Albuquerque there's Bubonicon, which Zia used to go to, and it's a general sci-fi convention, mm-hmm. I believe, but there was a furry presence there, so.
Well, when there's geeks, we will gather.
Yes.
Let's see, there's one in meetups near, there's one in El Paso and Las Cruces, there's meetups near Albuquerque, New Mexico.
It really depends on how much you're willing to travel.
Yeah, I would definitely Google for groups, communities, forums, mailing lists in your area. There's always something. I mean, Santa Fe is a decent-sized city. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be plenty of other furs there. It's just a matter of finding them. Usually one of those types of forums will have you be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As for the difference between going to furry cons and Yaoi Con or anything similar, it's really not that different.
No, it's really not. It's a con as a con.
Have money to spend. Make sure you have food money. Same stuff. I mean, you've listened to the episode. You've already heard our advice to first-time con goer previously.
Yeah.
A con is a con.
Mm-hmm.
And John Q Fur Fag is pretty similar to John Q Yaoi
Fag. Fag.
Yaoi Fag, yeah. It's like, what a gay lord. It's very similar. The cultural, there's really not that much.
That's the name of the con chair at Yaoi Con. The position is called the Gaylord.
Oh, yeah.
So
as we hit dead air, as two out of three of us decide to take a drink at the same time.
Powerade.
What a deep town body thirst. Oh my god.
So, yeah.
So, you want to wrap this shit up for the week?
Let's wrap this up because it is now 9:37.
Yeah.
And about where we wanted to go and how long we were going to try to go for the current future. About an hour and a half, hour.
Yep.
Yeah, we're trying to shorten things up and tighten up the show a little bit more. Don't say it.
like a fox?
We're also recording on a work night now, so we have to wrap shit up a little bit quicker, but the schedule is going to work out a little bit better for us.
So. Yes. Yep. So,
on that note,
good night.
And big balls.